Dr. George Pinkerton, Reel 1. Can you tell me, Dr. Pinkerton, where you were born?
I was born at Mottingham in Kent.
Uh-huh.
That's with an M, Mottingham.
Mottingham, right. And you were born on the 25th of March, 1916.
That's right.
Right. What did your father do?
I honestly don't know. I never knew my father.
Right. Yeah. And what did your mother do?
My mother was just a housewife.
Uh-huh.
She lived with my grandparents, because my grandfather had been a sheriff of London, and he just died just before I was born, so they had a big house and they could look after us.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
No, right, so it was you and your mother living with the grandparents.
That's right.
Yes. And where did you go to school?
I went to school at Tunbridge.
Uh-huh.
That was my public school.
Right. And first of all, did you go to a prep school first?
I went to a prep school in Folkestone called Felton Fleet,
mm-hmm.
Which, funnily enough, had a girls' prep school next to it called Athelstan, where my wife-to-be went to.
I see. And what age did you go to Tonbridge?
13.
Uh-huh. How did you feel about being sent away to school?
I didn't seem to mind, quite honestly.
Mm.
I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Tunbridge.
Did you? Yes. And what age did you leave school?
I must have been 18.
Uh-huh. And had you taken exams then?
Yes. I forget what they were in those days. They weren't A-levels and things like that, but they were sort of corresponding exams.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to get into Cambridge anyway.
Right. And you went to Cambridge to read?
Medicine. Well, to mean the natural sciences.
Right, uh-huh. And you had a that was with a view to doing medicine, wasn't
yes.
it? Yes. Why did you want to be a doctor?
I just don't know. I thought it would be a good thing. I thought at that time I wanted to be a surgeon,
mm-hmm.
but I thought better later.
Right, so what was Cambridge like? You went up in what, 19...
35, yeah. Oh, it was, I had a super time, because... I went to Clare, and I rode at Tunbridge, and I got into the Clare boat fairly early, and we did fairly well. In fact, we won the ladies' plate at Henley in 1937, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Cambridge.
Mm. How long did you stay there?
3 years.
3 years, yeah, to do natural sciences.
Yes.
Yeah. And what sort of degree did you get?
What I think a good second.
Right, right. And then you went on to?
London Hospital.
Uh-huh. Was there any talk of war at this time?
Oh, we expected it all the time. I mean, one could see it coming.
Mm. Mm. Did you think you might have a role in the war as a medic?
No, I didn't consider it in that way at all. I thought if there was a war coming... I shall get caught up in it, but how, I don't know. Not particularly as a medic, I didn't think, no.
Yeah. So, at the London Hospital, what was that like? I mean, you did your whole medical training there, did you?
Well, I did. The first, I went to the London... We were very lucky, because my wife-to-be and I used to see each other a lot while we were up at Cambridge, and we got married in 1938, before I went to the London...
Mm-hmm.
So we were dead lucky to have a year or so of marriage before the war.
Right.
And then I went to the London, and I did a year at the London itself. And then when war broke out, we were scattered, of course, all over southeast England, because the various teaching hospitals had sectors. Which radiated round London. The London Hospital had 1 and 2, which had the sort of Essex thing out to Southend and up, and then the next lot were Barts, who came round the sort of Luton side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually, having had a year at the London, I was then whisked off and to Old Church Hospital, which is in Essex, which is a very nice modern hospital. To continue my studies.
Right. So you were married now, so your wife was able to come with you, was she?
No, she didn't. We hardly saw each other for most of the war.
Mm.
Right. I used to go home, you know, the odd weekend and so on.
Yeah. But when you were doing your medical training, you'd only done a year, is that right, when war broke out?
Yes.
Right, okay.
And then we did what they could fit in. I'm one of the lucky people who learn by doing rather than learning by the book.
Right.
And it suited me.
Yeah. So your medical training then had to be adapted because of wartime conditions.
It did indeed, yes, yes. Yes, I spent the first about 6 months at Old Church, and then it went on to Claybury, which is one of these enormous Victorian mental hospitals, just in Essex, and I was there during the Blitz, and of course we had quite a lot of casualties coming in, because we were one of the big designated casualty hospitals.
Right, so you were getting battle casualties coming
in? Oh, yes, well, bombing casualties.
And bombing casualties, yeah. Right. When you say it was a mental hospital, so these were people without physical injuries?
Yes, but having said that, when there was an air raid, the patients were all herded into the shelters, and if there were any ambulances to be greeted and people got in off the ambulances, we were sent out to do it. These chaps would have loved to have helped, but they just weren't allowed to.
Yes. Yeah. So how big was Claybury Hospital then?
Sorry?
How big was this hospital?
Oh, it's about one of the biggest ones, about 2,000 patients. Right. Huge place.
Yeah.
It's gone now, sadly.
Yeah. So they were all in big wards, were they?
Yes, they were. I mean, there were few of them who were in very small wards, who were considered dangerous and so on. But great majority were in these big wards.
Mm. So the casualties you were getting from the bombing, these were people who, sort of in common parlance, had a nervous breakdown because of the bombing.
No, they weren't. The people we got from the war were straightforward casualties.
Right.
There was a wing of Claybury which was taken over by the London Hospital,
right,
where we took with operating theatres and everything else, where we took the people in.
Right.
And of course, the senior staff from the London came down to Claybury.
Uh huh. So you were. Being pushed forward in your training, I suppose, because of the demands.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was at Claybury for, I suppose, about 9 months, and then I was asked, would I like to do a job as an unqualified and virtually unpaid house officer at Chase Farm Hospital, which, again, we had the same sort of... That was running as a general hospital. We had a wing of it which was taken over by casualties.
Mm.
And so I said, yes, I would. And I went out and did my 6 months, more than that, as an unqualified house physician.
Right.
Most enjoyable.
Yeah. So when you were at Claybury and the casualties were coming in there, you were getting the full range of trauma, were you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, you were straight away assisting with operations with?
Yes.
How did you take to that? I mean, you were a young man who'd, you know, had a...
Well, I suppose one expected it. I think we sort of accepted it, really.
Mm. Did you have a sort of image of war and casualties and so on from what you knew about the First World War?
Yes, yes. A very frightening one, really. I mean, the... First World War must have been a horrible experience.
Mm. So from that, maybe you had some idea of what to expect.
Yes, yes.
How short-staffed were the hospitals? I mean...
I don't think they were that short-staffed, honestly. Mm. Because, you see, hospitals like the London, sort of were in the middle of London, had more or less shut down except for emergency work.
Mm.
So the nursing staff came out and worked in the other hospitals.
Right. So there was no shortage of staff that you noticed? No. Shortage of supplies? Or?
No, there wasn't really.
Right.
We more or less got what we wanted.
Mm. Mm. So a good field to learn in then?
Very good field to learn. Say, provided one didn't want the textbook learning.
Mm.
which you didn't really have time for.
Right. So did you do the same range of exams as...
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yes, I went up in 1941 in Cambridge. We used to take our finals in two parts then. There was surgery and midwifery. It was in one group. Uh-huh. And the next group was medicine. And you could take these two separately. And you could do a 6 months delay between them. But I went up to Cambridge in 1941 to take the first part, and I took the surgical part first, which I didn't expect to get, quite honestly. but I got it, and so I decided to have a go on and take the medicine, which I expected to. So I had a horrible couple of weeks, knowing that I was going to get this thing, and if I did, I'd qualify. And I did. I managed to get it. I was very lucky. I got asked all the right questions.
Who were your main sort of tutors or professors during your training? Do you remember?
Well, I always remember Donald Hunter, who was my first position I worked for at London. That's before we went about to the countryside. He was very good. And
what sort of a chap was he?
Donald Hunter was about very young. He was only in his 40s. I was a brilliant teacher, a most entertaining chap. And I'll remember Donald Hunter. A lot of the others, you know, one saw them as you went on. And
had they had experience of medicine in the First War?
Some of them had, yes. Mm. Some of the surgical people certainly had. Mm.
Had you got access to penicillin then?
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, penicillin wasn't around. I remember there was this wonderful new drug called M&B 693, mm-hmm. which was sulfonamide. And I remember some reason or other, while we were at Claybury, we had to go up to the London to get some of this famous 693. There had just been a raid the night before, so we had to sort of feel our way through the wreckage and to get the... to get this famous M&B 693. But I remember my first time at the London, we were taken down to see a patient with pneumonia who had been treated with this new wonder drug, M&B 693. And that was a sort of introduction to any of the modern things.
So you were doing techniques then, which certainly wouldn't be done now.
Oh, no.
Where were the big changes?
Well, I think the big changes really came during the wartime when the antibiotics were introduced. I think that was the main thing that happened.
Right. So you finished your medical training when?
1941, I qualified in 1941, and then I stayed on as house physician at Chase Farm for another 6 months.
Right, and you were dealing with war casualties there?
Some war casualties, but a lot of general medicine as well.
Were the mental health issues of the war casualties, I mean, shell shock and trauma and... was that something you regarded?
No, they didn't come our way.
Right, okay.
The yes, I did 6 months then, and at the end of the 6 months, one expected to... I had got a surgical job lined up, and at that time you could do two house jobs before you were called up. And I'd had my medical being called up. And when I finished the first job, they said, I'm sorry, it's the only one you're going to get. So I found myself in the army.
Right. So you had noticed that you were going to be called up. You had.
Oh yes, call. Yes.
Do you remember the day you actually got your call up papers to send you somewhere?
I don't quite honestly don't remember it.
Mm. But they sent you where?
Where the hell did we go when we sort of signed on? I think we went to the Great Eastern Hotel in London. I think so. And then then I got uniform and things, which luckily my godfather was a military tailor, so he made my uniform for me. And I went down and reported. I think again to the Great Northern Hotel, and we all shoved in the train and went down to Aldershot to the REMC base depot.
Right, so that was your first sort of actual arrival in the army.
Yeah.
What was Aldershot like then?
I don't think we ever saw any of Aldershot outside the base depot.
Yeah, so what was the base depot like?
Well, like you'd expect it to be.
I haven't been there,
you'll
have to.
Well, say. You know, quite honestly, it was just a lot of buildings and a bit of grass and a parade ground and so on. Mm-hmm. Sort of thing you find base camps all over the world.
Right. So what sort of military training did you have? Did they give you any sort of military training?
Oh, yes. They marched us up and down and did things like that. I'd done that all before, of course, because I had been in the Corps at school. That stood in me in very good stead because it got me rather good at map reading,
right.
Which I found very useful in later life.
Yeah. So you did the full army basic training, did you?
Not really. We were only there for about 2 or 3 weeks. It was just to show what went on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you were billeted in a barrack, were you?
We're in the barracks, so yes, yeah. Yes.
And were you all doctors or
the odd dentist, but we were all medical personnel.
Yeah. How did you feel about being drafted into the army like that?
Well, yeah, I expected it. I mean, you know, and it was going to happen, and one had rather felt, you know, all one's friends who non-medical had gone in the army, and so on, felt a bit left out.
Did anyone resent being in the army, or were you all rather thinking, you know, you're now going to have to do your duty?
I don't think we resented it at all. I think, you know, we said, well, you know, this is it.
Right. When you did your 2 weeks basic training, what were the NCOs like, and how did they treat you?
Oh, just the same as anybody else's.
Right.
I think it was a ploy on the part of the adjutant, particularly in there, to make life a bit awkward for the recruits, just to show how life was in the army.
But everybody coped with that quite well, did they?
Oh yes, oh yes.
Right. So after the first 2 weeks, and you'd had a taste of the army,
yeah.
What did you do then?
I think I got an immediate posting. And I was posted down to 205 Field Ambulance in Truro, or just outside Truro, a big house called Penclinic, which is still there.
Right. So what sort of a place was that? Was that a country house?
Yes, one of these enormous, I suppose, Victorian or late Georgian country houses. A tremendous house. It had one bathroom, I remember. And it was very nice down there, actually, because it was very pleasant. It was 205 Field Ambulance, they were a nice crowd.
Mm. How big was the establishment there?
Just the Field Ambulance has about 150 people, I suppose. That sort of thing, I can't remember offhand.
Yeah. And what sort of patients were you dealing with?
We didn't have any patients.
Right.
We were really training. We, you know, we used to go out on night exercises and fall in rivers and things like that.
So this was sort of military training?
Yeah, it was just it was not military in the sense of taking a gun, but then military and seeing how you went and what you did and so on.
Right. Can you remember any particular exercises you did there?
Well, the most... as you know, if you'll excuse me, I'll just have to leave you for a minute.
Okay.
The sort of exercise we did was we would go out and set up aid points, various, you know, various map references and so on. That's the sort of thing we did. And that was a time that I was lucky enough to be able to indulge my like a motorcycling, because it was a very funny thing that although the army did not encourage people to drive cars or trucks, they didn't seem to mind them riding motorcycles. Basically, I think because so very few people could or did. And so I used to, if ever there was any opportunity of riding a bike, I did it. And I also remember riding along quite near the those huge chalk pits at St. Austell. I think most of them have gone now, on a motorcycle, and the CO riding in his car behind, and a dog came out and you know, rushed alongside and woofed at me, and I just stuck my leg out, and I got him just right. And he went base over apex down the road, and the CO and his driver very nearly went off the road and laughing so much. But that was the sort of thing that exercise we did. And the other thing, of course, that one did as a medical officer in a field ambulance like that was to go to on loan as locums for other medical officers in the district. I used to go to... I had a couple of locums up at a little place called Harlin Bay. They had a battalion of the Essex Regiment there, I think. And I went and did the job as their MO. That was up on the north coast. And I also did a job in Launceston with the Field Survey Regiment, 3rd Field Survey Regiment of the Royal Artillery, who were splendid chaps. And I met them again in Italy years later. And... the other one, which I used to do, was a medical officer up at St. Austell. I used to go around the coast. It was a lovely run before breakfast. Do around the coast from the up from one or two airfields. We had little detachments on just to see that they were still all right. Mm. And what's the other one I used to do there? No, I think that was most of them. But they used to be very enjoyable little breaks.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the other thing was that the CO said, "You like walking." I had no alternative to say that I did. And you guys, we want you to get to know the coast round the Lizard. So I used to, they used to dump me at one point on the coast. And I used to take a packed lunch with me and tramp along this coast and see where the approaches were and so on, and arranged to be picked up about 10 or 12 miles further on. It was a very enjoyable way of spending an hour or two.
Mm. Why did he want you to get to know that coast?
But in case there was any invasion.
Right.
So that he knew where to get... approach and get ambulances and so on there and aid.
Yeah. When you were saying that on exercises you were setting up regimental aid post, can you explain to me what a regimental aid post would comprise of?
Well, probably the doctor, sergeant and a couple of orderlies. Mm-hmm. That was a sort of basic thing, and then you probably got some stretcher bearers around somewhere who could come and lend a hand.
Mm. And what sort of equipment would you have?
Well, whatever you could carry. We didn't have an awful lot of equipment then, just bandages and dressings, forceps. And so on, you know, basic first aid, really.
Mm. And And the point of the aid post, what was to sort of just administer emergency first aid?
Emergency first aid, that's right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So had you was that something you'd done, or did they give you training in that specifically?
I think they just checked to see that we knew it.
Right. Yeah. So did you have any medical training while you were there?
No, I didn't.
No, right, okay. So it was really to do with logistics and...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Right, okay. So, I mean, as the medic, you would be the one leading your aid post, wouldn't you?
Yes, that's right. I would be in charge of it, that's right.
How did you feel about having men under your command?
It didn't worry me.
Mm. Had the Corps helped in that? You know,
Yeah.
The way it was going to go on, yes. How were the relationships between the sergeants and the orderlies and your
very good
and so on?
Very good. I always found a very happy relationship with all the staff.
Mm. Mm. Did the distinctions between officers and NCOs, did those still exist in your unit?
Oh yes, but as far as when it came to the job, you just got on with it.
Mm. Mm. So you were in Cornwall by Truro for quite a few months, really.
About 6 months, I suppose.
Right.
And then my eldest son had been born, and we'd arranged, the CO said, "All right, you can live out if you want to." And so we'd arranged for... got a room in a house near the big house, where and arranged for my wife and Robin to come down and stay, mm-hmm. which they would have loved, of course. The day before they were due to come, I got all these. The CO got a telegram ordering me to go to London for a tropical medicine course. So I had to rush about and telephone and telegraph and everything else and put them off. So they never did get down to Cornwall. Then I had to go up to Millbank, to the RAMC School of Tropical Medicine.
Yeah. And how long was that course?
About a fortnight.
Mm. And what were you taught there?
Well, we were taught the sort of common sort of things we were likely to meet in tropical climates.
Mm.
Malaria, and taught how to do malarial mares and so on.
Mm. What precautions did the military take against malaria? Were they taking tablets or something like we do today?
Yes, but I'll come to that one probably when I get there, I should think.
Right. So how good, looking back, do you think that tropical medicine training was?
It was very good. You know, we were taught what to look out for and so on. I mean, there's no experience like learning, like having hands-on. I enjoyed the tropical medicine course.
Mm. Did all the army doctors do that?
Not only those who were going to tropical parts.
Right. So you knew then.
We were off.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Had you any idea where?
No. No. Didn't know till we got off the boat, actually.
Right. So you went back to Cornwall, did you?
I didn't. No.
Right. Okay. So you went then straight off.
Yes, we had an embarkation leave.
Mm-hmm. How long was that?
About a fortnight, I think. Uh-huh. Which was very nice. So, you know, Robin, my wife, and I joined up with my mother and grandmother and so on. It was nice to see them again.
Mm.
And then...
Were you apprehensive about going abroad?
A bit cheesed off by having to leave everything, but I wouldn't say apprehensive, no.
Mm. Had you been abroad before?
Only as far as Germany.
Right. So it was obviously going to be some sort of...
It was going to be an adventure. Oh, it was, yes.